This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Wednesday, January 4th, 2017. Only a 7-game slate on tap for Wednesday. Normally on Wednesday, we get like a 10, 12, 14-game slate. This week so far has been great because Monday was 8 games, and then Tuesday was 8 games, and Wednesday is 7 games, and that's right in the judge's wheelhouse. I think that's, as I've said many podcasts before, I think that's about the perfect amount of games. Not too much information, so, you know, it gives us it is enough games so we can differentiate lineups, and it's not too much information that we can't analyze all of the games in a very thoughtful, meaningful way. So I'm very pumped for this slate. Tuesday did not go the judge's way, but I've been on a really hot streak, so I knew I was going to have a down night. Anyone who says they win every night in DFS is just a flat-out liar. It's just not feasible. All you can do every day, trust your process, put the right plays on paper in, and hope the guys do what they're supposed to do on the court. But that doesn't always happen. So not the best day in the world for the judge on Tuesday, but not terrible either. Just a lot of my guys didn't go off, and other guys performed better. But that will happen. Before we jump into the chambers and talk about the slate for Wednesday, and of course the dream killers and the dream lovers for Tuesday, first let's talk about our lovely sponsor, Draft. Now, as many of you know, we're starting the judge chambers on Draft. We're going to do like snake drafts every day. But I started a league. The judge has never created a league, and as you guys probably can tell, I'm not IT savvy, or even when it comes to apps. So I'm working now behind the scenes with the people from Draft, and we're developing kind of the best way to do the judges chambers. Because unlike FanDuel, who refuses to allow me to have more than 20 people in chambers and who won't like barely respond to my requests, I'm tempted. One day, everyone who listens to the judge and the Glorious podcast, all of my savvy listeners out there, we should all just boycott FanDuel and go to a different site. And maybe then they will take us seriously. A lot of times the customer service there is like a lot of their just overall decision making that they have is pretty piss poor, and it's super annoying. Anyway, with that said, the people at Draft are not like that, so they're working with me. And I think like in the lobby, we might actually get a glorious like banner or something that says the judge's chambers. But don't worry, I will keep you updated. And the second that I think I already invited you, a bunch of you, to the judge's chambers. We have like a quote unquote league already started, and I will continue to invite more and more of you. And so if you want into one of the leagues, just let me know. I'll try to get you in. I'm still working out the details behind the scenes, but I expect that to start in the coming days, and I will keep you all posted. It's going to be a lot of fun because, like I said, just snake drafts every day around like 6, you know, maybe 5, 6 p.m. Eastern time, and they're real fast, only 5 players. So, you know, it should take, you know, 5 minutes or so. It's going to be good times. If you are really struggling in DFS and you want a 30-minute consultation with the judge to go over some more macro level concerns you may have regarding strategy, roster construction, make sure you're entering the right contest because the judge will hammer you on that. I will have the gavel ready. I will be going objection, objection when you tell me what you're entering. And we can really, we can really develop kind of a personalized plan to get you back on track. So if you want a consultation with the judge, you can holler at me via Twitter at DanielAGreen1, or go to the website dgcourtroomdfs.com, and we'll try to get you straightened out. Other than that, let's talk chambers for Tuesday. As you know, chambers is the daily tournament right now that we are running on FanDuel, and I definitely do want to start opening up chambers on DraftKings as well. It's just finding time. It's easier said than done, but as long as the demand is there and you guys want me to open up a chambers on DraftKings, I'm going to try to do that. Right now, I think starting next Monday is when we're going to try to launch that. I wanted to launch it, you know, January 1, but it's just there's too much going on right now. So we'll try to launch that next Monday. So also tweet at me if you want to get in a DraftKings chambers. Because I look over there every day, you know, real quickly, and some of the pricing over there seems so tasty, and the pricing is so different than FanDuel. And if you play, and if you do play on multiple sites, man, it's totally different. But Chambers, the daily tournament right now, we're running on FanDuel, where we basically I scour the earth for the best DFS players, and they come and they enter my Chambers, my daily tournament, and we battle it out, and we see who is the best. We have a power rankings that are on my my website, or they're actually right now it's my what's the thing on Twitter you have? Like, there's one tweet you can like I guess it's the pinned tweet I have on Twitter right now. Also, if you go to the website dgcourtroomdfs.com and just click on power rankings, real easy, you can see who right now is I think I have like the top 10 ranked. You can see those. So it's just really good times, a lot of fun. We have guys who are pros to guys who are basically really new to DFS this year. So the spectrum is, you know, it's pretty far reaching and wide, but it's a lot of fun. And it's a great way for all of us to interact. All of us who listen to the pod, follow the pod, follow me on Twitter. And you know, we're basically a small community. So Chambers for Tuesday, we had two new winners, your ass. And I'm not trying to swear. I mean, it's not my ass, but I guess it's your ass. URASS was a newbie. His first Chambers win, his first Chambers cash, 308. Not sure why he wanted to have that as your username. Maybe you can tell me why you chose that. Also, remember, once you enter Chambers, you really should try to let me know what your either FanDuel username is and your Twitter handle. Otherwise, I can't give you a proper shout out. And the judge wants to give you the credit you deserve for taking down Chambers. Also, C-Town Vin, otherwise known as Vinny. And also, I love when someone has the same FanDuel username and the Twitter name. That is glorious. Also, I wish that my name on FanDuel was the judge, but because I started out using DAG88B, I'm stuck with that, which is horrendous. I want to change it to the judge, but that's a whole annoying process to do that. Anyway, but C-Town Vin took down his – oh, my, that's his second win and second cash of the year. So he actually did have a win before. And his first win of the year was a best of the best, which is glorious. So congrats to you, C. Townvin. And the number five ranked player in Chambers right now took down a Chambers on Tuesday. I always get the days confused. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, I'm starting the pod like later than normal. So it's 4 a.m. right now. So dear God. So yeah, if I say some things wrong, get some teams wrong, get some players wrong, it's because it's just so dang late. But WTBA, who's the number five ranked player in Chambers, got his third win of the year and his ninth cash. So congrats to him. He is trying to claw to that number one spot in the power rankings. Also, I want to note for the listeners, I know you guys always want, you like the smoothie updates. So I got my smoothie, no straw. And I mean, first dream killer of the night. It's unbelievable. That's got to be the most important task. Like when and I ordered on like delivery, right? So when they're putting this together, how could you not just throw in the straw immediately? I'm gonna call them and just go berserk. Even though I won't do that because that's not nice. But I gotta find a way. I even in the notes section, I order via delivery.com. It's an app. I'm not sure wherever you live. You know, I'm sure you have something similar. And like, there's a note section or a comment, and I put in there like, please provide straw with like 30 exclamation points. So I don't know if they're doing this on purpose to me. But either way, this must be rectified because a smoothie without a straw is like Fat Felton without a buffet. It just can't happen. It's just not right. All right. Other dream killers besides my smoothie without a straw for Tuesday, Andrew Wiggins. Man, if you were following me on Twitter, you saw me tweeting about this all night. I watched this entire Minnesota-Philadelphia game. Going forward, we all of us have to be careful rostering anyone playing Philly, because when Embiid plays, they slow down that pace so much because they go to Embiid every time. And Embiid actually played like crap. He was a mess. He still ended up, he stumbled, bumbled, and crumbled and fumbled into 42 FanDuel points, but he didn't even play well. His usage rate is so high, and he's so big. He lucks into so many, he gets a lot of layups and easy buckets, but down the stretch, he was a mess. And yeah, I mean, it was kind of painful watching him play. But anyway, the pace of that game was just brutal. So almost early in the first 6 minutes of that game, I was like, oh, no. I was getting nervous for the guys that I rostered in that game. one of those guys that I played a lot of, who I don't like playing for cash, and I didn't on Tuesday, but I don't mind him for single entry tournaments because the minutes are always massive, and for tournaments, obviously, and that's Andrew Wiggins. Plus, Philadelphia is atrocious defending small forwards. So, and Wiggins has, it's been playing pretty well lately. I don't regret the play. It was a really nice spot for Wiggins. He he's a one-trick pony, and he missed every single shot he took. And it was pretty clear early on, once he started missing the shots, he wanted no part of being involved in that game. His head was somewhere else. He was lazy. He was lethargic. He was disinterested. He was the ultimate tin man. He had no heart whatsoever. It was disgusting watching him play. And if you want to go back and look at my Twitter as well, or you can just YouTube it. You can, the game should have went to overtime, and then Philly had the ball with, must have been like 1 second left, maybe 2 seconds left, and they ran an inbounds play. And of course, Wiggins' man, Covington, got a wide open layup because Wiggins was so lazy going over a screen. It was so pathetic. The ultimate, he was my soul crusher, quite honestly. So he was even worse than a dream killer for me. For a lot of you, I got so many tweets about TJ Warren. A lot of you guys must have rostered TJ Warren because, man, you guys were not pleased at his 3 FanDuel points. And I don't blame you. A 3 FanDuel points, that's hard to do. But we can't blame TJ Warren. Earl Watson is the dream killer. He gave TJ Warren, who was coming off a great game, 16 minutes. He just didn't play him. He gave PJ Tucker, for no reason, 32 minutes. I was watching the game. I'm not really sure why he did it. I mean, it must have been for defensive reasons because PJ Tucker can lock people down on the defensive end. Philly and Phoenix did hold Miami under 90 points for the game, I think. And during the second half, Dragic went nuts in the first half, and he was a bum in the second half. And a lot of the second half, they put PJ Tucker on Dragic. But giving TJ Warren, when you're the Suns and you have nothing to play for, like playing guys like Tucker and what's his name, Tyson Chandler, big minutes, and not playing TJ Warren, it's criminal. Also, I don't know if Earl Watson is even alive, quite honestly, because he's emotionless on the sideline. I've never seen him make any like moves that he has a pulse. But he found a way to kill TJ Warren. So if you played him, you're probably not pleased. Kyle Lowry, should have been a pretty safe play against the Spurs in a really high pace over under game. San Antonio absolutely blitzed Toronto. I mean, it was just a beatdown, and Lowry had like something like 12 or 15 FanDuel points. It was crazy. I mean, I was talking on previous shows that his usage rate is not where I want it to be. So he's going to be a guy soon, when if his price keeps rising, that I don't know if I'm going to be able to play, but hopefully now his price comes down after this game. He's had an off night. Chalk it up to just one of those days. Lowry should be fine going forward. They got waxed though by the Spurs. Goran Dragic, I have him as a dream killer because he put up over 20 FanDuel points in the first quarter. I think he had over 30 at the half. Ended up with like barely 40, and he was dreadful in the second half. And I went all in on him on Tuesday, and you had guys like Isaiah Thomas scoring more points than him, and Reggie Jackson outscoring him. So for me, he was a dream killer. Even though he played well, I mean, quite honestly, in the second half, you could tell he was just exhausted. I mean, Miami's basically playing. I mean, I don't know if you want to call Josh Richardson a bum. I won't, even though he was dreadful and another dream killer himself on Tuesday. But I mean, Miami has like three D League players in the game at all times. I mean, if I have to ever watch Luke Babbitt take 11, 12 shots in an NBA game again and play over 30 minutes. I mean, I don't know if I can take it. It's just, it's too much to handle. He's so freaking bad, and he was getting so many shots and missing everything because he's Luke Babbitt. It's just painful. And Miami plays again on Wednesday, so we're probably going to have a chance to play those guys again. But so Dragic, he was exhausted in the second half. You could tell, but he couldn't make a basket. And I swear, in the last 5 minutes of that game, it was Dragic driving, missing layups, and Tyson Chandler would try to come over to help a little bit. Leave Showtime Willie Reed wide open, and Willie Reed, who ended up with 50 FanDuel points and was the dirt minimum, he would get a wide open putback dunk. That's 3.2 FanDuel points, like 4 or 5 times in the last like 2-3 minutes of that game, and ended up with over 50 FanDuel points. It was crazy. If you're watching that game live and you had some Showtime Reed, you were doing jumping jacks. Mike Conley for Memphis did not take advantage of Lakers defense. Another guy that I played a lot of. One of the first times all year I really went a lot of Conley. That shows me. I thought he was in such a good spot. His price was very fair. Playing way up in pace, just didn't work out. most expensive player in the NBA. He should refund all of us money for how much he makes. What a disaster he is. Josh Richardson, the opportunity was there, especially because Tyler Johnson was another dream killer, Tyler Johnson, who was going to play all day long. And then after lineup lock, he allegedly has migraines. Why they felt the need not to tell us during the course of the day and wait until after lineup lock, I don't know, but that was horrendous. I don't think the migraines all of a sudden started after lineup lock. So once he was ruled out, I mean, I didn't even play a ton of Josh Richardson. I played a lot of KCP because I was worried about Dragic coming back. But once he was Tyler Johnson was ruled out, I thought Jay Rich would be able to go nuts. He went back to the guy from 2 weeks ago. He couldn't make a shot. He didn't look confident. And Miami was looking to him to score. And he wanted no part of the ball for the most part and just hidden the corner. Also, another, you can go and look at my tweets. You can see a couple times where I posted, I think, some videos of him taking some shots. I want to see some of the worst jump shots in the history of humankind. He was shooting and I was ducking in my apartment. It was bad. DeMarcus Cousins, I have as a dream killer. He was okay, but Sacramento put up like 120 points. And he barely got 50 Vandal points, if that. And you can't have the lowest price center on the slate outscore the highest price center on the – I mean, Willie Reed was over, what, $8,000 less than DeMarcus Cousins, and he outscored Cousins. That cannot happen. So, I mean, and the problem for this whole entire slate was there was really no superstar to get for money. So a lot of people played Cousins because we had all this extra money to play. And quite honestly, it wasn't worth it. And he didn't come close to paying off his value. Wes Matthews, I'm pretty sure Wes Matthews, it doesn't matter the pace of the game. He's going to stumble, bumble, fumble into like 20 Fanduel points or around there. He was not good though. He was super disappointing for me on Tuesday. Just did not come through like I would have hoped. He always is a guy that doesn't have a high ceiling anyway. Gordon Hayward, you know, if you played Kawhi, if you're playing the Russian roulette wheel of Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Gordon Hayward, and you ended up with Hayward, you probably had a bad night because the other two guys ended up in the 40s, and Hayward was, you know, I think in the mid to high 20s. And then Ty Lawson. Ty Lawson, just some of you who are new to the show, the original Tin Man was Ty Lawson because when he was on Denver, there was a stretch, I don't know if this was 2 years ago, when, man, he just for like weeks at a time just didn't want to play. I think he was feuding with George Karl at the time. I'm not even sure. And so he was completely had no heart, no effort, no energy, and just basically tanked the entire second half of the season. So it was him and like Anthony Davis. Or no, it was him and Harrison Barnes were the original Tin Men. But I have Ty Lawson as a dream killer because Ty Lawson was supposed to play all day, and then he was ruled out after lineup lock when they said he was probable. And if he was going to be out, I probably would have played some Darren Collison because Sacramento has no backup point guard really without Ty Lawson. And Ty Lawson got ruled out after lineup lock. And then, of course, Collison went nuts. And most of us didn't have I don't know anyone who played Collison. At least I didn't see him. You know, I was quickly looking through like Chambers and looking at some of the winning GPP lineups. And Collison had, I think, over 40 Fanduel points. So he was a dream lover. Other dream lovers, Showtime Willie Reed. I mean, over 50 Fanduel points. I think he had 22 actual points, 18 rebounds. And I've said this for a while. Tyson Chandler, he shouldn't be getting minutes anyway, but he's not good defensively. He's just not. I mean, if you look at the advanced analytics, he's not good. He's not good. You know, rebounding rate is not very good. I mean, I guess he's, if you talk about rim protecting, I mean, did he force Dragic into missing some of those layups? Maybe. But he allowed, I mean, Willie Reed was able to get whatever he wanted against Tyson Chandler. And that's Willie Reed. So, I mean, Tyson Chandler, he had almost 20 rebounds himself. But Willie Reed feasted. Isaiah Thomas, he was the guy you basically needed. If you didn't have him, you didn't win any big money. Against Utah, 57 or so Fanduel points. I think it was Utah. And he was great. I mean, he's basically matchup proof because he was going up against one of the first or second defensive versus position teams in the league, and he dictated that entire game. He controlled the pace. The pace was way higher than it should have been, and you know, so I mean, kudos to him. I mean, he was phenomenal. Harrison Barnes, he was really good for Dallas. He's, you know, he's a nice cash game play almost any night of the week, and especially because Darren Williams was out, Harrison was a nice play. TJ McConnell, I don't know if he's a dream lover, but I mean, he was in a lot of winning lineups, so that's why I have him down here. And he got you like 27, 28 Vandal points. which is, I mean, his salary of like $4.5K, that was more than enough. Zach LaVine, you know, from Minnesota, Wiggins or LaVine, one of them is going to have a good night. So this time it was LaVine who just happened to be making his shots. Julius Waffle House Randall got a triple-double in the late-game hammer of the night. The judge, I'm not going to lie, I fell asleep on my couch. I passed out in the second half of that game. So I taped it, so I need to go back and watch and see why he played so well. But he was against Memphis. I think that was like the first triple-double Memphis has allowed in forever. So like Randall's super talented. To me, I would love to play him in cash, but he doesn't get enough minutes. So he's only tournament play for me right now, but he does have the upside. Reggie Jackson, well, you know, he all day long I was on him. I pivoted off to Dragic and some Conley, and I wish I did not, because Reggie Jackson, he outperformed them both. He was tremendous again, almost 50 burger for Reggie. Lord Covington, sure wish I would have played him over Wiggins. And it was, I mean, if you watch this game, I mean, there was one simple difference between Covington and Wiggins, and it was effort. It was just effort. Covington wasn't making his shots either, but he kept trying. He kept playing hard. He was getting rebounds. He was getting steals. You know, he was getting loose balls, and the effort paid off. He ended up with like 35 FanDuel points. Andre Drummond was good. He was in like the mid 40s in FanDuel points. And then Darren Collison, who I mentioned, was tremendous. All right. Injury news for Wednesday. Another tricky slate. But I'm looking forward to it, man. It should be a lot of fun. A lot of injury news already. Evan Fournier, questionable. Marco Bellinelli is questionable. Cody Zeller looks like he's out. So, dear God, are we going to trot out these Charlotte bums again? You're going to have Kaminsky and Marvin Williams in play. Oh, God, they killed us a couple nights ago. Porzingis looks like he is doubtful with the Achilles still. Dellavedova still out with a hamstring, so Brogdon should be a good play. Again, D-Wade is questionable with that knee. Kyrie Irving still questionable with the hamstring. Deion Waiters is still questionable with the groin. Justice Winslow and Whiteside look like they're going to be out. Tyler Johnson and James Johnson are both questionable. So yeah, the Miami, it's going to be going back to the well in that Miami stuff again. It's probably going to be waiting right up until lineup lock to figure out what to do with Miami. Ty Lawson, questionable. It's great. Sacramento plays again. What a disaster. Damian Lillard looks like he's questionable with that sprained ankle. And Chris Paul, questionable with the hamstring. So lots of big important players who we're going to have to monitor the news on Wednesday to make sure to see if they're playing or not. All right, let's go to the over-unders. So because of all the injury news, we're still waiting on three over-unders. There are four. We got the Warriors in play, guys. Oh, dear God. So massive over-under. 224.5 is the over-under. And, of course, they're favored by 15.5 points going up against Portland. I am surprised that there's a line on that game already because Lillard is questionable. If Lillard plays, you think maybe Golden State would be favored by maybe 12? And not 15 or 16. So the fact that there's already a line and the spread's that big makes me think that Lillard's not going to play. But we obviously have to monitor the news. Look, Golden State was an 18-point favorite against Denver 2 games ago. That game stayed close the entire game, and everyone on Denver ended up having really nice nights. So a 7-game slate, you could take a couple different approaches. One approach is obviously you can just say you're going to fade the game and hope Golden State blows out Portland, and then, you know, and none of those guys hit value. Other approach is basically just pretend that Vegas, the actual line doesn't exist, and the over-under is still there, and it's going to be a fast-paced game, and everyone's in play, and the game stays close, and all those Portland guys then become elite plays. Guys, you know, Portland playing way up in pace. McCollum, obviously, especially if Lillard is out, and then you could even play Crabbe, you got Evan Turner, you got Plum Dog you could play, and then you got the two bums, Harkless and Aminu, who I love to target in fast-paced games. So they become suddenly pretty interesting guys if that game could stay close. Then you got the Bucks at the Knicks. This game should be a lot of fun with Giannis and Melo. I guess Porzingis, I don't think he's going to play. But that's a nice game to look at. Oklahoma City at Charlotte, 209 over-under. Even though not the best over-under in the world, we have Westbrook and Kemba. I'm going to love to stack that game a little bit. Then in the lowest game of the night in terms of over-under, Atlanta, Orlando right now. But I have a feeling when the over-unders finally come out, that Miami-Sacramento game where you have two teams playing super slow in pace. That's going to be a really bad over-under, as well as Memphis at the Clippers, because it looks like, especially if Chris Paul is out, that's another one where you have two teams playing really slow pace. So you could honestly just – and the problem is there's so much value in Miami. It's hard to not play any of those guys. But, I mean, there's going to be some ugly, ugly games for over-unders. All right, teams playing up in pace. The judge likes to target those. There's really only one team when I look at significantly and then I looked at projected pace that I want to target, and that's Portland, like, you know, which we already talked about a little bit, playing Golden State. Also, Charlotte's playing up in pace a little bit against OKC, Orlando a little bit against Atlanta, and the Bucks against the Knicks would be the four teams I look to the most. But really, Portland's the only one that I wanted that I really, really am a little bit excited about. Let's go right to the plays, man. We could talk about some defense versus position, you know, if that comes up during the course of certain players. So we do have OKC on tap. So what does that mean? The first choice we have to make is do we not play Russell Westbrook? The good news is the price has come down because the last three games he's been, for him, really bad. Even though one of those games was a blowout, he was on pace to hit value. But 48, 55, and 25. At his price, he's really got to get a 60. And he was doing that consistently before this, you know, little last week or so. Kemba, not the best defender in the world. And Charlotte gives up like the middle of the pack in defensive first position. Westbrook, fine for all formats. I mean, like, we've seen it lately. You do not have to pay up at point guard to cash and take down GPPs and to win big money. And point guard's loaded every night, especially if when there's a decent sized slate, and it's a really tasty position on Wednesday. So you don't have to play Westbrook. I probably will do it in cash games. At least right now I'm doing it because I did find the value when I initially went through the plays, but you don't have to. In tournaments, you can play him or you cannot. I mean, the one, if you fade him, you hope he doesn't give you, you know, go off for 80, 90, something like that. You know, but if he plays and only gets 60, like, that's fine. You can easily, you can still make up for it. But in cash games, the judge just likes having that easy, nice, safe 60 points, you know, and then I only got to choose eight other players. Kemba Walker, another really good spot. I love attacking Westbrook because he exerts so much energy on the offensive end with his 46% true usage rate that defensively he's just not that good. And he gives up about the eighth most FanDuel points to opposing point guards. Kemba has been coming on. The prices would come up a little bit, but it's not the Charlotte Batums right now. It is back to being the Charlotte Kembas. Do we want to say Charlotte Walkers or Charlotte Kembas? I don't know. We got to work on that, but really good spot. I love everything about this game for Kemba. I love Charlotte playing up in pace. The price is fine. I love Kemba Walker's almost 31% true usage rate. And I love the fact that he's coming off 56, 47, 37 FanDuel points. So super, super, super great spot. If you want to use him in cash, you can do it. You can save 3.4K. That's a lot of money to save if you want to use him in cash over Westbrook. And in tournaments, I love the fact of playing a Westbrook-Kemba Walker lineup. Steph Curry, this bum, this buster, I want no part of him for the most part. Whatever. I'll stack this game and I'll throw him in one lineup or so. But even last game when Golden State Denver stayed close and he played 35 minutes, he had 30 FanDuel points. He's got to give me 40. He's done that twice in the last 10 games and barely. So, I mean, like, where's the Steph Curry explosion? I mean, you know, we used to, last year, 50, 60, 70. The last time he's occasionally will give you a 40 this year, but he hasn't given me a 50 FanDuel point night since November 26th. He had a couple in November, but in December he did not have a single game in the 50s. So now he'll probably have a 50 on Wednesday. But I mean, in theory, he is a delicious matchup because Lillard, if he plays, is horrendous defensively, and CJ McCollum is horrendous defensively. I actually would prefer to play Curry if Lillard plays, because if Lillard is out, they'll probably play Crab on Curry, and Crab's a decent defender at least. Goran Dragic, 7K. He was in just such an elite spot. And he, I mean, he did fine. He played well. He had an unreal first half and a disaster second half on Tuesday. He put up 40 FanDuel points, which in theory is okay, but it just didn't work out because other guys who were priced less, like Reggie Jackson, outperformed him. But still a really good spot, especially if guys at waiters are still out. It is a back-to-back, though. Now Miami's playing way down in pace, so I'm not going to be as gung-ho about Dragic on Wednesday, but he's still fine for all formats. Dennis Schroeder, 6.8K, so Atlanta playing down in pace against Orlando. Another guy, pretty safe. 33, 29, 37. Then he had that one stinker against Minnesota of 16. But other than that, then keep going with the game logs, 41, 32, 45 FanDuel points. So I love his usage rate. It's still, you know, hovering right around that 30% mark, and the price is very fair. I'm totally fine with him, quite honestly, for all formats. I don't love the fact they're playing down in pace, but yeah, I mean, Orlando is not great defensively at that position. That's why Elfrid Payton got benched initially. So yeah, I'm fine with Schroeder. Mike Conley. So, you know, he burned us all because of recency bias, and he burned us all on Tuesday, or at least he burned me especially. I thought he would be able to attack the Lakers. He's still in L.A., playing the Clippers on Wednesday. Why don't, you know, another really juicy matchup against Fat Felton probably or Austin Rivers. I guess if CP3 comes back, that really wouldn't worry me too much, quite honestly, either. So, I mean, Conley's fine. I probably would only use him in tournaments for Wednesday, but he's going to be low owned. No one's going to want to play him. I guess just make sure he plays because he's one of those guys for Memphis every day. It seems like he's questionable, probable game time decision. So he's not in an ideal situation, but ownership will be super low. So if you want someone who's really low, who could give you a 40 FanDuel point night, you can play him. Derrick Rose. I mean, look, the usage rate is really nice with when Porzingis goes out, he gets extra shots. He still has a 28% usage rate on the year, even with Porzingis playing. So the one thing I keep an eye on is after they got blown out, the Knicks got blown out by Orlando, Hornacek went on like a really long rant about how they're horrendous defensively and he wishes they would play defense. You know, and then I kept thinking to myself, well, this is from the guy who won't start Justin Holiday and who starts Courtney Lee, who's been, you know, one of the worst defensive shooting guards all year, and who starts Derrick Rose, who's atrocious. And then when there's injuries, he starts Jennings and Rose at the two guard positions, and who has Melo. I mean, you do have defensive guys, Hornacek. You don't have the best defensive team, but there's guys you can play who can give you some defense. So yeah, is the personnel top notch? No, but I mean, you're not helping in matters either. But with that said, there was no mention he's going to limit anyone's minutes or anything. So D Rose is still fine. I mean, he's safe. Quite honestly, he's fine for all formats. I probably am not going to use him in cash. To me, he's probably going to be a single entry tournament or a large GBP only. Also, Brogdon is, I mean, even though, you know, Dellavedova is a good defender, Brogdon is a good defender too. I still don't know how that guy fell in the draft and how was he a second round draft pick. So, I mean, I don't love the D Rose play, but it's perfectly fine and I can understand it. Elfrid Payton, 6K. You know, he's one of the guys at Magic Mountain going on the roller coasters because he has a floor of 15 and a ceiling of 50. And I mean, trying to figure out when it's going to pop, it's not easy. I mean, you try to look at the data. I mean, one thing I do love doing, I love attacking Atlanta guards. So, I mean, that's one of my models that I've lived by this year. They give up the second most FanDuel points to point guards. So in theory, this is an elite matchup for Elfrid Payton. I'm pretty sure he started the second half over DJ Augustine because it's DJ Augustine and he should not be playing ever. So yeah, I will play some Elf. I know the holiday, I know Christmas is over, but maybe I can bring it back the first weekend in January on Wednesday. Tyler Johnson, if he plays, I think he'll be fine, especially on a back-to-back. He should be relatively fresh while the rest of those Miami guys are going to be exhausted, and they need Tyler Johnson. So he's safe for all formats if he plays on Wednesday. MCW, 4.7K. Another guy. I mean, you could – this paid off for me last week. I went Brogdon, MCW, and I made hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I don't know if it was thousands that night or hundreds, but it paid dividends, and you could easily make an argument for it as well. Again on Wednesday, it's, you just got to hope Westbrook doesn't go off for like 80, 90 FanDuel points if you do that. But MCW, 4.7K, the price has come up a little bit, so that makes me a little uneasy. And I don't think this, I mean, the, you know, as I mentioned before, if Wade plays, and I think Wade's, I don't know if I mentioned him in the injury news or not, I think he's questionable. If Wade plays, I don't love MCW as much because the Bulls don't need a point guard. They can play, first of all, they have Jerry and Grant, they have Isaiah Cannon, they still have Rondo, by the way, I guess technically. And like, during, I mean, if MCW doesn't get off to a good start, they'll just let Wade and Butler handle the ball in the fourth quarter and play McDermott or Miritich and space the floor. So MCW's minutes are, even though he starts, he easily might only get 24, 25 minutes. If Wade's out, then I think MCW becomes a really, really good good play for all formats. If Wade plays, I mean, I think he's still okay. I'm just not as high on him. Darren Collison. So if Ty Lawson is out again, I have no issues firing up Darren Collison again on Wednesday. I mean, it's just going to suck because now, because of recency bias, he'll probably be pretty high owned. But, you know, he's safe for all formats if Ty Lawson's out. I mean, Sacramento has no one else to play, and he almost got 40 FanDuel points on Tuesday. Fat Raymond Felton, it all hinges on Chris Paul. So if Chris Paul's out, I mean, you could go Felton. So he's playing Memphis, so I will probably only use him in tournaments. I'd prefer Brogdon to him, and I probably would prefer MCW if Wade is out to him as well. But I mean, Felton had 30 FanDuel points last game, 37 minutes against, now granted that was against Phoenix, so super fast-paced game. This is Memphis, polar opposite. Brogdon, 4.4K. Yeah, I mean, he's basically a lock and load for me right now in my cash games. He had a bad game for him right now, starting at versus OKC, although he played tremendous defense against Westbrook. Had 20 FanDuel points. He's going to get mid-30s in minutes right now with Dellavedova out, and he's capable of giving you a 40 FanDuel point night. He'll probably end up in the 20s, maybe 30s, but at 4.4K, even though the price come up a little bit, he's safe for all formats. Austin Rivers, the other guy, I just would prefer Brogdon, MCW, Felton. If you want to use and Collison, if you want to use Rivers, though, you could do it. I mean, usually he's going to play a lot of minutes and probably not do much with those minutes. But he's relatively safe. He'll probably somehow stumble into 20 FanDuel points if Chris Paul's out. God, the smoothie without a straw. I need to figure out a strategy. I guess the easiest way would be for me to go buy some straws. Yeah. I'm buying straws tomorrow. I don't know if I've ever bought straws before. They even sell straws? I guess they would, right? I guess it's a grocery store? You could tell. I never go grocery shopping. I live in New York, so I order delivery or takeout like every meal. Shooting guard, Giannis, 10.5K, super safe for all formats. He's, you know, if you easily want to make the case and not spend up at point guard and not play Westbrook, you should have the money to play Giannis at shooting guard, and there's no Harden on this slate. So Giannis, you can make a case that he's the best play going on Tuesday. And the Knicks have no one in the free, I just mentioned the Knicks defense, they have no one in the free world to stop him. He should just go crazy against them. And in Madison Square Garden, yeah, it should be a fun night to watch to have Giannis in your lineups. CJ McCollum, this is tough. If Lillard is out, I mean, if Portland keeps this game close, it's going to be because McCollum goes nuts. He's 8K. The price is very fair. He's coming off a 59 FanDuel point night. It's all about can Portland keep it close. So I probably am not going to play him in cash. I mean, the thing is this, though. Even if Portland doesn't keep it close, let's say Golden State absolutely just destroys him. He still should get 30 minutes, right? And in 30 minutes, with his usage rate, which is over 32% without Damian Lillard, he still should be fine, quite honestly. So I'm, you know what? I'm overruling myself. Where's my gavel? And I think he's safe for all formats. It's a little risky for cash, but I'm fine with it. And I will use him in some single entry in large tournaments for sure. Nick Batum, 7.8K. So I mean, he's been so good that when he put up last two games, 33 and 34 for him, that's been like bad because he basically had a string of like a week and a half of like all in the 40s and close to 50. But it's another guy, super safe. I mean, if you want to pivot off of CJ McCollum because you think that game is going to be a blowout and you do not think he's going to hit value, you could easily go to Batum. The one thing I'll say here is Oladipo is back for OKC, and Oladipo is a really, really good defender. So that would, you know, maybe worry me a little bit, although Batum's not scoring dependent. He fills up the stat sheet, so I'm not worried. I'm not overly concerned about it. Batum, safe for all formats again. And I think he'll be low-owned on this slate because you have guys like Westbrook and Giannis and some other superstars coming up, like Cousins again, who's in an elite matchup against Miami, and Showtime Willie Reed. Cousins should get like 40 rebounds on Wednesday. So, but Batum will be overlooked, over-owned, because that price range, I mean, typically most people don't have the unless you're going like a value strategy in all of your entire lineup, that 7.8K it's always kind of a weird salary to fit. Klay Thompson, 6.9K. Wow, the price came up on Klay a little bit. I mean, the last three, he's been somewhat consistent, 35, 39, and 35. Wow, the interesting thing about him is when you look at the minutes the last few games, 37, 36, 35, 41, 37, 35. And that's including some blowouts in there. So that's somewhat interesting. And he's going to get CJ McCollum defense. CJ McCollum is one of the worst defenders in the world. He's horrible. Like him and Lillard, that's one reason why Portland stinks and no one talks about it. At least I don't hear people talking about it too much. Lillard and McCollum are the worst defensive backcourt in the NBA. So yeah, offensively they're great, but defensively those two are a mess. Where's their defensive versus position? See if that actually backs it up or not. So defensive versus position, they're a lot of the 10th or 11th most. So I don't think that does it justice. I think that's not that maybe. Plays into the fact that Portland does not play at one of the best or fastest paces in the league. Josh Richardson has eclipsed the 6K barrier. That sucks. So on a back to back for Miami, he's still okay at 6K, but I mean that feels like it's a little bit forcing it now. In a really slow paced game on that back to back. Especially if guys like Tyler Johnson come back, especially if Deion Waiters comes back, I don't want to pay 6K for Josh Richardson. But if those guys are still out, maybe I'll still play him in a couple lineups, but that's pricey for him. I mean, you can easily just pivot off of Josh Richardson and play Oladipo. 5.4K, we're getting him at a bargain. I mean, this is way too cheap for Oladipo. Those two guys should be reversed in price. Jay Rich should be 5.4K and Oladipo should be 6K. This price makes no sense to me. Yeah, I know Oladipo was out for a while, but talent-wise, he's a 7K player. He was playing well before his injury. Last two games, 30 and 21 FanDuel points, and most importantly, 35 minutes the last game against the Bucks, and he looked good. So I like to target guys when you're getting them at bargain price. And you need to play them a day early rather than a day late. So let's jump on the Oladipo train on Wednesday. You could even do a Westbrook-Oladipo pairing. I know that's a lot of people don't like doing that, but this price it's just too cheap for Oladipo. And I'm a big fan of him for Wednesday. And shooting guard's not that great. So after him, you got to go under 5K. You got guys like Tony Allen. You got my boy Jody Meeks, who you could play. You have Jamal Crawford, who's going to be a tournament play for me if Chris Paul is out. Korver, Temple, Ellington, Redick. I mean, Jeremy Lamb. All those guys are fine, you know. But it's if you're playing those guys, I mean, you're basically you're and you got what's his name, Crab for Portland, and then they got Jordan McRae for Cleveland. So I mean, look, you have like, I just mentioned like six or seven bums. I mean, you can play any of those guys. But if you do it, you're going to be sweating the whole night and praying they go off. Or you can be a little safer, play some Oladipo and a Giannis, or play a Batum in Oladipo, just a nice super safe. Or you can go if you want to get, or you can go CJ McCollum in Oladipo. Or you know, it's just you don't have to play, even though those bums are there on this slate. You know, we don't have, you know, there's not. I don't think you need like two or three superstars in your lineup, so I don't think you need to force the value. Granted, in tournaments, absolutely. I mean, play some Lambs. Play some guys like Temples and Ellingtons and Jody Meeks. But I just don't think I don't think you need to do it. All right, small forward. LeBron, obviously, if he plays elite. Oh, he's going to play. I don't know why it says game time decision on FanDuel. He should play. Everything right now says he's going to play. So he's fine. I mean, the one thing that's been funny to me is I've watched Jimmy Butler get torched defensively a few times this year. And so Chicago's playing Cleveland. Chicago beat Cleveland the first time they played. That's one reason I think Wade's going to try to play if he can, because Wade loves playing against LeBron. But LeBron's fine, especially if Kyrie is out. LeBron's safe, all formats. Jimmy Butler defense does not scare me one bit, especially because Jimmy Butler is doing so much offensively. Defensively, I think he just can't be, you know, as elite as he was in prior years. Kevin Durant, tournaments only for me. It's just, even if that game stays close, I mean, this is the problem. Against Denver, the game stayed close for Golden State, and Curry had 30 FanDuel points, and Durant had 30 FanDuel points. So I just can't trust it. Is it for tournaments? Absolutely. But cash games, no thank you. Jimmy Butler's price has skyrocketed to 9.3K. I'm pretty sure he was like 8K like a week ago. But if you have an 81 FanDuel point night and a 64 FanDuel point in about a week span, then your price is going to skyrocket. So 9.3K, if Wade comes back, yeah, I don't really want to pay that price. If Wade's out, do I even want to pay that price? Not really. That's super expensive. Chicago does not play at the fastest pace in the world. I mean, you can still do it. I mean, if I had 10 lineups, if Wade's out, I'd probably play him in three. If Wade's in, I'd probably play him in like one, maybe two. That's just so pricey, and he's coming off that monster game, so recency bias in play. The over-under is not going to be that great. So all signs point to me not having a ton of Jimmy Butler exposure, although I'll play him a little bit. Carmelo, 7.5K. Man, I need to make a list of who's been a dream killer the most this year. Melo's got to be in that list. Sad to say, but Melo, I mean, he's getting too old to be at Magic Mountain with me, but he's there. I don't know if Lala would let him go, but I mean, he's had so many games in like the 11 and 17 and 24. It's just when he plays and he gets his full allotment of minutes, he's still really good because his usage rate is still delicious. It is. Where is it? Where is Carmelo? Why is he not here? Is Carmelo a small, a power forward on DraftKings? I don't think so. Let's see. Carmelo. Sorry, guys. 29% usage rate. That's still really good. That's still upper, you know, top 20 in the league in the NBA. So, look, you could save $1,800 if you don't pivot off of Butler, get some Carmelo if he plays in a good spot against the Bucks. And I know you guys probably don't want to hear safe for all formats, but as long as he's playing, and especially if Porzingis is out, he's safe for all formats. Wow. Small forward, you take a massive hit once you get after Melo because you go down to under 5K guys. Then you got Evan Turner, Mo Harkless are the next two guys. Evan Turner, like, I would love to play me some of him. If that game can stay close, he could give me a 30, 35 FanDuel point night. But the problem is they're still not using him properly. I've watched every Portland game since Lillard's been out. Like, I mean, he's getting 30 minutes, but he hasn't been as aggressive this year, and I'm not sure why. So it's hard to fall in love with that play. I do love the fact they're playing way up in pace. I'll play a little Evan Turner. If I have 10 lineups, I'd probably play him in two. Harkless, you know, between Turner and Harkless, Harkless is going to get probably more minutes, and he's got a safer floor but a lower ceiling. So if you want to play Harkless in cash, though, on Wednesday, I think you can do it. He should somehow stumble his way into 20 to 25 FanDuel points, even if it's a blowout. MKG, 4.6K. Yeah, so MKG, Marvin Williams, Frank the Tank, they all destroyed us against the Bulls on, I think it was Sunday, or I don't remember what day it was. But, you know, he's the man without a usage rate. So it's just hard to get excited about these guys. You know, his usage rate is 16%. That was giving him too much credit. That's Mo Harkless. I mean, MKG is 14.4%. That's even worse than Otto Porter. So, I mean, you can do it. Charlotte's playing up in pace. I mean, he's not scoring dependent, so that's why the usage rate is not a killer. But is he going to give you a 40 fandom point night? It's super hard to see that happening. I still think the ceiling is like 30. But for cash, it should be okay. I mean, he should find a way, you know, similar to Harkless and on Wednesday, he should find a way to give you 20, 25 maybe. Aaron Gordon. So Aaron Gordon, the difference between Aaron Gordon, MKG, Mo Harkless is that Aaron Gordon actually, when he plays, his minutes aren't as consistent, but when he plays, he actually gets to shoot the ball a little bit. And his usage rate is 20%. Now, compared to Harkless and MKG, that's phenomenal. He's coming up. I mean, he's had a couple games close to 40 in the last week. He's also had a game of 10. So another guy, not super safe, not a guy I normally like playing for cash, but for single entry tournaments and for GPPs, Orlando playing up in pace, I think he's okay. Then you gotta, you know, dig deep and you gotta throw some darts if you want to get crazy. You can. The Bays is still there. Kent Bazemore, 4K. He's still starting. Only got 19 minutes last game. That wasn't good. Matt Barnes, if Gay is out, I mean, 14 Fando points with 28 minutes on Tuesday. That was not good. But he's in theory, he's in play. My Stinky Ninja again is going to be Doug McDermott, if Wade's out. If Wade plays, McDermott, you can still play him, and he can somehow try to get you 20, 25 Fando points. But, again, if you play it, he easily could end up with a 10 Fando point night. All right, power forward. Let's see. So Kevin Love, 8.5K. If Kyrie is out, Love gets the biggest jump in usage. It sucked last game out because Love – he came down with food poisoning. I think he's going to play on Wednesday, but he only played like 24 minutes because of the food poisoning issue. He still put up 31 Fando points. Whenever Kyrie is out, he's an elite play, and he gets a Bulls defense that, even though it has Taj Gibson, like they struggle defensively to defend that to defend bigs. So, and Taj Gibson cannot defend Kevin Love on the perimeter. So I'm not sure who for the Bulls is going to try to match up on him. So he's in a really good spot here. You know, if Kyrie plays, I don't love him as much. But if Kyrie plays, one thing you can do, which a lot of people don't, is you can play a Kyrie, LeBron, Love lineup, and all three of those guys, they all could hit value. And if they all do, that starts your lineup with how many? Let's see, that's 50, 40. That's like 130 Fando points if those three just hit value, which they've done many a nights. And then you're basically ahead of the game. So Love is fine in all formats. Paul Millsap, he's probably going to be a tournament play only for me. Although the last two games he's been good with Dwight in the lineup, 52 and 41. And he had 52 against San Antonio, and 40. The 42 was against Detroit. So, in two slow-paced games, he's got another slow-paced game on Wednesday. You get Serge Ibaka, who's a decent defender. I prefer Love to him probably, but especially if Kyrie is out, but he's fine. If you want to pivot off of Love and play some Millsap, perfectly reasonable. Draymond Green, he eclipsed 40 on it was like the only Golden State guy to eclipse 40 the other night against Denver. Had a triple-double. He's fine. If you want to play him, 7.9K, but probably tournaments for me only. Jabari Parker, 7.2K. So he's getting expensive. But he's locked into almost 40 minutes a night for the Bucks right now. The usage rate continues to climb. It's closing in on 26%, which for him is really good. He doesn't rebound, which pisses me off every night. He acts like he's in a shooting guard's body, even though he's in a power forward's body. That's annoying. So I end up screaming at him at the television if I play him. But 7.2K, especially if Porzingis is out, I think he's in a really good spot. Serge Ibaka, a guy who I just have not played much this year, and he's safe. I mean, he just 28 Fando points, 32, 38, 27, 48, 36, 37. Every night of the week, he just I mean, I'm not sure like why I refuse to play him. It's weird. It's one is because it's not sexy. He doesn't have massive upside, but he's just been rock steady. And he did. He started the year off so bad. And you know, I that reverse Benjamin Button just look, cost me some money early on, but it's fine. Like I don't love this game, although Orlando is playing a little bit up in pace. He's always low owned and he's right there. If you know, it's fine. Like I've seen him in winning GPP lineups. So, I mean, you know, people have said to me, you can't play Surge and have your lineup win because the upside's not there. That's, you know, most nights that's probably true, but I've seen it. I've seen it a few times, so I'm fine with him. Zach Randolph, 5.8K. Talk about a guy with a low ceiling. That's him. Really safe floor, low ceiling. So fine. If you want someone who's going to get you between 20 and 30 Fando points, play Zebo. Jamichael Green. Wow. So his price rose $600 overnight, and then he put up 12 Fando points against the Lakers. So if you played him on Tuesday, you weren't happy. 5.5K. I'd prefer Zebo over him. So yeah, I don't want to play a ton of Jamichael Green. Enes Kanter coming off a disaster night of a 9 Fando points. You know, I don't know if that's because Oladipo is back. I think that may play a little role because remember when Oladipo was out, when that second unit came in, it was run entirely through Enes Kanter. Now when Westbrook is out, they can leave Oladipo in there. And that's when he can start shooting the ball and get some shots up. So I think Oladipo back does hurt Kanter. Kanter's still fine for tournaments, but I'm going to try to not have a ton of him on Wednesday. Taj, and then you've got guys under 5K. You got Taj Gibson. You can play him if you want for cash. He's been so underwhelming lately. He's not cracking 30 minutes. He'll get you between 15 and 25 Fando points. Frank the Tank is 4.3K. The most disturbing part, he only played 20 minutes, and he looked bad in those 20 minutes. And it was weird. I don't understand it. It's just what happened. He was good for like a good 2-week stretch, and then it's like he forgot how to play basketball. And he should be almost an ideal stretch four. In the NBA, so if you can play him, but if you do, you probably won't feel good about it. He should be relatively low owned, but that's because he's been playing like crap. Mirotić, he's got some upside here, 4.3K, 28, 22, 27 minutes. The difference between a guy like him and Kaminsky, if he gets minutes, he can actually do something with them. So Mirotić is fine. I think he's. If you want it, you can. He's probably not cash game worthy, but single entry in tournaments, yeah. Marvin Williams, he killed us all. I mean, he got 28 minutes against Chicago. He put up 12 Fando points, so he got 8 more minutes than Kaminsky and did worse. I was close to getting ready to say Marvin's a cash game play again, and I still think at that salary, if he gets 28 minutes on Wednesday, he'll be fine. He'll find a way to fumble his way into 20, 25 Fando points. But you get sick. All those Charlotte guys make me sick. Like, we don't have to do it, guys. Like, you don't have to do it. You can just, you know, go, be nice and safe. Play some – you want to get safe, play Zebo and Kevin Love. Or play Kevin Love and Parker. There's value guys at point guard and shooting guard where you can spend up a little bit of power forward. Aminu. I think Aminu is in a really good spot. 4.1K. You're getting him dirt cheap against Golden State, and he played 36 minutes last game. So, and the last few games, he's getting like over 30 minutes, and the Fando points has been fine. Not great, because another guy without a usage rate, 18, 21, 17, 24 Fando points, the last four. I love to target these guys with low usage rates in up-tempo games. This is an ideal spot for Aminu. I mean, I'm going to call this my sneaky ninja of the night, as sneaky as you can get for being against Golden State. But normally not a cash game player, but I think he is on Wednesday. I think he's all formats I will be using Aminu. Center, DeMarcus Cousins. Like this, he couldn't ask for a better matchup. Showtime Willie Reed is, I mean, he's like 6'6" tall, 6'6" in terms of height. He's not big. He's not that thick either. He's athletic, but I mean, I've watched every center against Willie Reed just destroy him. It was Drummond, Tyson Chandler. There was someone else. And Cousins is better than obviously both those guys. It is a back-to-back, but I just can't envision him not getting 50, 60, 70 FanDuel points. So Cousins, safe for all formats, unless he gets ejected or something because he's crazy. Marc Gasol, 8.5K. Pretty safe play. It's a back-to-back. Make sure he plays. Against the Lakers, he had 41 FanDuel points. With Conley back, his usage rate goes down a little bit, and the price is a little bit higher than I'd want it to be. So I don't love him at that price, but it's fine. Dwight Howard, 7.7K. I love attacking Orlando bigs. Vucevic is one of the worst defenders in the league, also one of the worst rebounders in terms of protecting his own glass. So Dwight Howard's in a good spot here. He'll be super low owned. He's always like 5% owned, and he's fine. DeAndre Jordan, 7.1K. If Chris Paul plays, I like DeAndre Jordan a lot better. But even if Chris Paul is out, I think for cash games, DeAndre Jordan is just a safe play. Even against – I don't like targeting anyone against Memphis, anyone against Marc Gasol. But DeAndre Jordan's not – you know, we don't need him to score. We need him just to rebound and to block shots. He can do that against any team. So the pace of this game is not ideal. But if you want to – you know, if you want to use him – in all formats, I think he still should be fine, and I think his floor is around 30 FanDuel points. Not the best ceiling in the world though without Chris Paul. Vucevic, 1 second, I need to take a sip of my magical smoothie. So Vucevic is 7K. Everyone sleeps on him. He's always under the radar because he's not starting, and then people just have a tendency not to play someone who doesn't start. But he still gets you 30 minutes a night. And he's getting close to 40 FanDuel points the last three, 39, 38, and 39. So Vucevic is always a sneaky play who no one wants to kind of get exposure to. The only issue here is he's up against Dwight Howard, who this year, I mean, Dwight's been okay this year on the offensive end, but defensively he's been elite. And I'm trying to look real quickly at the defense first position. And of course, I can't find it because it's like 5 a.m. and the judge is starting to get sleepy. I'm not going to lie. I need to get alert. We're almost at the end of the show, guys. Only a couple more minutes left. I cannot find Vucevic. I will find this defense first position. It's the last thing I do in life. Yeah, so Atlanta gives up the fourth fewest points to opposing center. So Vucevic, not in an ideal spot here. But tournament plays, you can do it. Plum Dog, yeah, if this Portland game stays close, it will be because CJ McCollum plays well. Maybe a guy like Harkless Aminu plays well. Evan Turner maybe. But a big part of it's going to be Plum Dog. So tournaments, I love teaming up. If you're going to play, don't play. If you play a Portland guy, I wouldn't play one. You might as well play, you know, two or three. You could easily do a CJ McCollum, Plumlee, Aminu lineup. And then that game stays close. Those guys could all smash value. Steven Adams, I love to attack Charlotte Biggs. And that now Zeller's out. They have the walking 8-foot tall statue, Roy Hibbert, and then they got the bums, Kaminsky, Marvin Williams. So Steven Adams should be able to gobble up easy buckets in the pick and roll with Westbrook, some easy rebounds, coming off a 41 FanDuel point against the Bucks. So a really good spot for Steven Adams, safe for all formats. Other than that, you got under 5K, you got Joakim Noah, who's been good, and he gets a Bucks team who cannot defend bigs. He's played 29 minutes last two games and 30 and 39 FanDuel points. So at that price, cash games, it still worries me a little bit, but he's becoming a guy I'm going to look to in single entry tournaments and in GPPs as well. Tristan Thompson, wow, the man without a ceiling. Just, I mean, honestly, his house just must be super, super cold all the time in Cleveland because he's got no ceiling on it. Robin Lopez is still dangling up for us out there, 4.4K. Occasionally, he's going to give us a 30 FanDuel point night. Granted, he hasn't done that since December 5th of last year, 2016, so about a month. 4.4K is just so cheap. I mean, I prefer him over Tristan Thompson, but both those guys are similar. Both of them, you play both of them, you're going to feel sick all day until the game actually tips off, and you see them actually getting some rebounds. Yeah, that's about as low as I want to go at center. So center's actually not that great. So whereas Tuesday, you know, I didn't really even want to pay up for Cousins, but I felt I needed to. Wednesday's a day I actually would prefer to pay up for Cousins. And just to, I mean, he should just destroy Miami. All right, that is it, guys. That is the slate for Wednesday. A nice little interesting slate. Seven delicious games. Delicious because I think there's players to attack at least in all of the games. Should be exciting. Remember, I will keep you updated about the Judges Chambers on the app Draft. Make sure you download the app, though, so you get ready to enter the chambers there. Use the promo code DFBPOD. And if you don't, if you have downloaded the app without using the promo code, let me know. I will rectify it for you to make sure that you get credited with your deposit bonus. And if you want in on the chambers on FanDuel, you know, you can DM it. You can DM or tweet me. Remember, I prefer tweet over DM because I'm getting 100 to 150, sometimes 200 DMs a day, and I just can't keep track. And they build up as the day goes on, because, you know, during the course of the actual day. In the real job, I have to go hours without looking at my phone. So a tweet is better than a DM. You can also send an email as well. If you want to get in chambers, I try to tweet out the links around 5 p.m. Eastern. I try to release the core four, kind of my top plays of the night, around 5:30, 6, maybe 6, actually 6, 6:30 Eastern. So you guys can be on the lookout for that. Other than that, hope you made some money on Tuesday, and hope you get ready to dominate on Wednesday and achieve some glory. Until then, the judge, without a straw, for his smoothie, says court is adjourned.